This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Baba Ali Show, Episode 16, Why Some Muslim Kids Hate the Masjid.
This podcast has been brought to you by HalfOurDeen.com, a Muslim marriage website designed for those who want to find their other half privately. Because the only people that should know you're looking to get married are people who are looking to get married. Try HalfOurDeen today.
Some Muslim kids hate the masjid, and then their parents wonder why. These same kids were once just small children. Ironically, these same children were scolded for acting like children. So imagine how these same kids perceive a place that they're told to sit down, be quiet, listen, and don't make a sound. To them, it's like a prison, and sadly, some of them are as young as toddlers, so they're too young to comprehend what's going on. If they're caught being playful, they're given nasty stares followed by a lecture, thus building a negative association with the masjid at a very young age. As much as we study other aspects of Islam, we should also look into how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with small children at the masjid. And I think the answer will surprise many of the uncles and aunties, especially to those who belong to the haram police. Haram! Let's do this.
In a world where cultural Muslims have confused the masses, and speakers are forced to be politically correct, rises one man, one voice, who changed everything.
Hey man, why are you all serious? This is just a podcast.
Let's talk about what they don't want to talk about. The Baba Ali Show.
We've all seen this countless times. A two-year-old kid is being playful during Salah and may go as far as riding his father's back in sujood, only to be given a lecture afterwards on why he should respect the prayer and be quiet and don't ride me like a camel in the masjid. Respect! Here's a reality check. The kid is 2 years old. I don't think he understands what's going on, let alone understanding what respect even means. We think that the more religious we are, the more rigid we need to be, and that's just not accurate. In fact, many of the same situations we see today happen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and if we only study his actions more instead of making it what we think being religious means, our relationship with our kids would be quite different, and their connection with the masjid would be quite different as well. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ did when his grandson was riding his back during Salah? He let him play. In fact, he didn't want to disturb his fun, and he went as far as extending his sujood. The reality is that many young kids just don't like the masjid. Not only do we lack programs for them, but more importantly, the elders don't put enough effort to make those kids feel welcomed. Masjid leaders have no problem telling the parents to bring the youth to the Islamic Center, but once the kids get there, there's really nothing for them to do, and they're basically told to sit down and be quiet. It's where they meet the haram police for the first time. It's no surprise why they start feeling disconnected from the masjid at a very young age. And yes, we are the ones to be blamed for it. If you want to change our situation as Muslims, then let's start changing the way we do things and let's start treating the children like the way the Prophet ﷺ treated children. I'm speaking to myself before I speak to anyone else because I get frustrated with these kids as well. These kids are a test for you and me. My guest today, Sheikh Muhammad Muhammad, is originally from Sudan, born and raised in Saudi Arabia. He has studied Islamic sciences with many scholars, holds his ijazah in tajweed, and has majored in biochemistry. He's currently pursuing his degree in Islamic psychology. He works with many masjids and Islamic organizations in different capacities and has taught Arabic, tajweed, Islamic studies for many years. And he's our guest for today. Welcome to the Baba Ali Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
You're the first guest we've ever had by the name of Muhammad. Muhammad, as you probably know, the most common name in the entire world is Muhammad, and the most popular last name in the world, do you know what that is?
Muhammad.
Is Lee. But I've never met Muhammad Lee, but I've met Muhammad Muhammad, so that's the next best thing, inshallah. So, but that's not what our topic is today. The topic today is about the masjid kids. And at many masjids, we have two extremes. On one end, we have parents who have absolutely no control over their kids, and their kids are like army ants destroying everything in their path. And on the other end, you have kids just being kids, and the haram police expecting these children to sit in one spot, without moving or without making a sound. How do we deal with each extreme?
That's interesting. But first, we'll start, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Salatu wassalam ala Rasulullah. So, like you said in this masajid, we see both extremes, and we need to understand how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with those, because I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, right? Kids will be kids. So we know, like he said, some of them will be destructive, and some of them will need discipline and so on. As for those who get disruptive, I mean, the kids, of course, have to be educated, have to be taught. But the problem that we have is that we get so aggressive that we actually repel them from the message. So the education is important, but the how is the part that we are messing up on. And as far as dealing with those kids, a lot of times we care more about how people will look at us and what people will say about us raising our kids more than how this kid will come out of this experience and how will they react and how, what kind of relationship they will have with the masjid or with Islam. And all that is very important because at that age, they will develop all of that. So the way we deal with it might actually set the relationship between our children and the masjid for life. So we have to really be careful with that. We see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving them some reins where they can be kids and still be themselves and enjoy the experience in the masjid. But at the same time, they are educated. So within a short time, they know the etiquette and how to deal with the masjid and when to be quiet, when not, and so on.
And that's the important thing here, because a lot of people think that the more religious you are, the more rigid you have to be, especially when it comes with children. And small children, they really don't understand. In fact, they're not even accountable for the things that we're accountable for. So how do we expect them to act like adults when they're just like 3 or 4 years old? So I don't really understand that aspect of it. But I want to ask you, like many of the youth, they don't even like coming to the masjid. So why do you think that is?
I think mainly it's because I'll see two issues. First, we don't really show them that we care. And I love what I see imams that will say the saying, and I love it. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
They don't really see that we care. They just see that we want to discipline them. So they see us as bad guys all the time. And that's problematic. So just treating them like they are insignificant or that they don't matter and only caring about, you know, the comfort of the adults, that will repel them because they will feel that they're not part of the community. The other issue is that we don't really cater to their needs. So we have programs, of course, for adults and matrimonial stuff and all everything else. But when it comes to the children, at most probably would have some Arabic and Quran class, but nothing else at most places. I see these two issues as issues that will keep the youth and the children away from the masjid. They will only come if they are forced to, sadly.
That's unfortunate, because if we find a new way or a creative way to channel their energy, we can make it much more attractive, especially for young children. I mean, we often tell parents to bring the kids to the masjid, bring the kids. But as soon as they bring the kids, there's nothing absolutely to do for the kids. It's like, what do you have for the kids? Oh, we have a prayer. Okay, my kid's 3 years old. What else do you have? Oh, we have sunnah. Okay, that's kind of like prayer, but okay. What else do you have? We have a special program on Friday. Okay, for 3-year-olds. Yes, it's Juma. Okay, I don't think my 3-year-old understands what's going on during Juma. So it's like, oh, then you can come during Ramadan. We have special program. And you're like, okay, you mean like babysitting for Taraweeh? No? What are you talking about? Oh, it's Taraweeh for children. Oh, it's not really for 3-year-olds. So I just don't understand. Like, sometimes we have this mentality that we think that we're going to put the kids and expect them to act like adults in the masjid, and they're not adults. The Prophet ﷺ, the way he dealt with children, I wish sometimes we sat down and studied the seerah, not just in the aspects of how he prayed and how he fasted, but as in how he was a good father when he dealt with children. That's a whole different element that we never discuss. Can you give us an example of from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ of how he dealt with children?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, studying the seerah is important, but I just want to point one thing out. Is a lot of times we look at the seerah or the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and a lot of times we take a ruling or two out of the hadith and we discard the rest. We don't really take the lessons that come from the rest of the hadith. We don't really ponder it and try to apply everything. We take one or two lessons and we move on. So a lot of the hadith, for example, when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ dealing with the children, it talks about, for example, how he would treat them kind of almost like equals, if not better, to the point where it is known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand up when his daughter Fatima used to walk in the room. I mean, imagine that. Imagine trying to tell parents nowadays that when your children walk in the room, you have to welcome them and show them this love to the point where you stand up and give them your seat.
Impossible. Impossible.
That would be like a culture shock to most of us, right? That's impossible to happen. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. So that's something that we have to really look into and examine the way we deal with things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only dealt with his children with this kindness, but also children around him. Because like I said, the only things we Kafir in the masjid are the things you mentioned, but I see more. Let's be fair. We give them scolding eyes. We give that and also we give them a little food sometimes. If we have some extra stuff, mostly spicy, so they can't handle it, but we have something for them. And that's it. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to deal with children in a way that will make them love him and love to be around him so much that even when he comes back from a battle, so we're talking about days and weeks and months of traveling, of being wounded and having war and fighting, and he will come back, and the first people to meet him outside of Medina coming in are the children.
Yes.
And they will be so excited to see him, and he will give them individual attention, so he will not be, okay, you know what, I'm tired, you know, not now, I can't deal with you. He didn't give them any of that. He will actually give them rides behind him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going back into Medina. He didn't even get to his house yet, and he will deal with them in that way, right, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as far as in the masajid and dealing with them around the community, he used to bring the children. I know a lot of people have an issue with people bringing small children in. But we have a hadith that are authentic, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to, for example, carry his granddaughter Maymuna. And he will carry her in the salah. And he will, and the hadith even describes how he used to put her down when he would make ruku'. And he will carry her again going up. He will put her down for sujood. Go and take her back up when he moves up. So it's something that was normal for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, and she's a child that he carries. So of course we have to expect that she cries, she makes noise, all of that. And there was no issue. Also, there's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I came and I was intending to make the prayer long. He's leading the prayer. So he said, I intended to make it long. But when I heard the child in the back cry, I hastened the prayer out of fear that his mother might be harmed by the cry of the child.
SubhanAllah.
So his care was how the child is going to feel and how his mother is going to feel. Not just the adults and how their concentration in the prayer, which is the only thing we think about in most masajid, are, okay, the children are going to be noisy. Please take them away. You're responsible. We put so much pressure on the parents that they probably don't even feel like bringing their children around because they don't want to feel the feeling of shame or getting these looks where, what are you doing? He is messing up my salah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cared more about how the children feel than the people's ideas or opinion about how to concentrate in the salah.
Wow.
That's not to say that we shouldn't concentrate in the salah. But for example, a very famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to read salah. And he actually came into the masjid with his, carrying his grandkid, Al-Hussein. And he came and he put him down, he started making salah, leading the prayer, obligatory prayer. And then in one of the sajdas, he made it really long. So one of the companions was narrating the hadith, he said, I feared that something happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so I looked up. So the man actually broke his salah. He looked up and he said, I saw his grandkid on his back playing, so I knew that things were okay, so I went back to sujood and waited. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the prayer and finished and looked back, and the people were saying, Ya Rasulullah, you changed. I mean, this time you made one sajda that was really long. What happened? We thought that something happened to you or you start to receive revelation. He said, no, my grandchild actually started using me as a ride. And he said, I didn't want to disturb him until he finished. SubhanAllah. I mean, SubhanAllah. He cared more about the child finishing his play than actually making the salah longer or people saying that, oh, it's the prayer and can't mess with it. None of that. And most of us, like you said, get so rigid with the prayer that we take it to be this ritual that have to be like clockwork, have to be done exactly this way. Nothing can disturb it. I cannot have no challenge in it. It have to be easy and so on. But I mean, a lot of things distract us, and we're probably more distracted with things in our mind than anything that will happen around us. But we don't treat it the same.
That's very well said. And sometimes with the masjid, you'll see a small child just being playful during salah, and they get scolded, as you said, with those looks right afterwards. And then you know that speech is coming. And then your sister in the corner, and the uncle will come and say to him, respect the masjid, respect. And the child doesn't even know what the word respect means. He's 4 years old. And then he just has this negative association, as you mentioned. And then they grow up with this negative association. Some of them, they get hit. Some of them get yelled at. Some of them just that stare alone, and they just remember all these feelings. And personally for myself, I try to do the exact opposite thing for my children. Everything when it comes to salah. And like just recently for both my children, I told them, you can pick any toy you want, but in exchange, I want you to memorize Surah Fatiha and I want you to explain what it means. Now, the reason for all this is because I know 17 times a day, my kids are going to be reciting this surah. So I want them to at least understand what this means, not just say the words. And as you said, go through the rituals of salah. I want to connect their hearts. And if they can have a positive association with learning this, which means their favorite toy that they can purchase, that's awesome. Rather than hey, I'm going to scold you and yell at you and give you dirty looks if you don't do these actions of ibadah. Why don't we associate more positive things with these things so the children, as they're growing up, they remember this positive feeling with it? Like, for example, like, no matter what happens in the house, if the family can come together and pray Salah together, that will always be a positive association rather than a negative association. You get yelled at to go pray because you haven't prayed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of times we feel that we are doing the right thing by disciplining the children right away, immediately, in front of everybody sometimes, like you said. And we don't think about the consequences and what that does to a child's psyche. I mean, a lot of time, like you said, they have this negative connotation. Every time I go there, I can't move, I can't play, I can't have fun. Everybody looks at me with this look of disdain. Everybody just wants to, you know, imprison me and lock me up somewhere. So they associate that with the masjid, and that's not a good thing at all.
So what can we do as a community in changing the way we deal with masjid kids, with the hopes that they'll make a positive impact on how the kids view the Islamic faith?
I mean, that's a big question. we need some psychologists and shuyukh to sit together and just give us a whole, like, maybe lecture that will probably extend for a few weeks and months on that. But but just to kind of be brief, I think first we need to completely have a different outlook on the masjid and the kind of attitude and behaviors we need to have in the masjid. So when we come to the masjid, we can't expect everything to be completely still. I mean, we're dealing with human beings, not chairs. So you can't just expect everybody to be completely still, making no noise, having concentration to be 100% and all of that. It's not practice. So we have to expect that children will be children. And we have to be able to deal with them in a way that will kind of make them feel that I'm still welcome. Even if I do mistakes, I'll be corrected, but in a way that will still make me be around these people. And that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do it. He used to have nicknames for children and will have a personal relationship with them. And when he will correct them, there will be no harshness whatsoever, no matter what the act is. So a lot of times we fear that, oh, the children, they're going to maybe, if they're small enough, they might urinate. Something is going to happen to the carpet. Oh my God, we paid so much, brother. And we're going to have to clean it and do this and that. And we have prayer coming up. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that did happen in his time from grown folks and from children alike. And he just, okay, let's clean it up, educate them according to their age. So the old man, he was told, okay, this is not what we do. You have to go to where you do that at. For the children, it was just cleaned up. And the Prophet ﷺ made sure that the child is not disturbed to that point. Like one of his grandchildren was sitting on his belly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's laying down in the masjid. And he started to make the kid laugh. Like he would play with him, make him laugh 2, 3, 4 times until the child started to urinate from how hard he was laughing. And one of the kids, like, imagine your grandkid is actually on your belly, no clothes or nothing, and he started to just relieve himself, right, or herself. The companion who was sitting next to him, he said, I jumped up about to grab the kid to get him off, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand up to him and said, don't disturb my child, let him finish, right? And finish what? We're talking about peeing here, right? So he said, don't disturb him. That's what he was caring about. Don't disturb him. Let him finish his laugh at least. So when he finished and he stopped laughing and all of that, then the Prophet ﷺ picked him up, put him to the side, cleaned the kid, and then cleaned himself. And all of that with a smile. So like you said, this positive reinforcement of having the children know that we want you to be around, we like for you to be around, and they will grow and learn from the experience. I mean, that's what we do as children. We pick up from the environment around us. I remember leading Taraweeh in one of the masajid in LA, and you know, that's a lot of takbir is going up and down the rak'at. So I remember one of the children who, I remember as a baby, the parents used to keep bringing him to the masjid so much that he's a toddler and he barely speak a few words. And one of the few things we used to say is Allahu Akbar. Every time I say Allahu Akbar, he's right behind me, Allahu Akbar, and he will yell it. I mean, imagine what kind of attitude he will have toward the masjid when he grew up with this kind of experience.
Yeah.
So it's just this different outlook that we can have about how to deal with each other, period, and not just give everybody the dirty look when they have done something we don't like, which might not even be wrong as far as Islam is concerned. It's just, that's not what we used to, or this disturbs me, and it's all about me and the masjid. That's the wrong attitude. So we have to make sure that we have to treat them well, whether they are children, whether they are adults, everybody around us, and just we need to be educated, like you said in the beginning, about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do things. A lot of times we are not familiar with it. We talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example, but we only talk about the rituals and the battles, and that's as far as that it goes, as far as his model, right?
Yeah.
So we don't take how he is as a father, how he is as a youth leader. I mean, the youth used to be around. He's the, you know, all of these positions in one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a lot of times we have to really look at how the Prophet used to deal with the youth, with the children, the toddlers, the babies, and we try to embody that. A lot of times we are not familiar with it at all.
And unfortunately, that's where we kind of fall short. And if we did more of that, we would have a completely different outlook on the way we deal with the children. And the children will have a completely different view of what the masjid is, and they'll have hopefully less haram police at the masjid dealing with all these different things. Because unfortunately, as much as we say that the youth, unless we take care of our youth, we're not going to have that next generation to take over these masjids, to take over these programs, and to be the energy to make these programs continue. Because if it's just a bunch of old people at the masjid and there's nothing else, we're just like a senior citizen home. So it's like, and we can't be a senior citizen home. This is not how Islam spread. It was by the youth. Absolutely. You know, it was with their energy. We, and this generation, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of smart kids out there. And if we can make this next generation active and part of our community and feel like they're part of the community, I think we can really, really make some positive influence.
Absolutely. We even have to really understand their issues. A lot of times the youth feel that they cannot really talk to us, especially in the masjid. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's imagine at this time, one of the youth come into the masjid and he goes to the imam or the sheikh or any of the good brothers or sisters who come to the masjid regularly and say, you know what? I'm thinking about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. How do you feel about that? Or, you know what? Is that really wrong? And so on. Most of us would get so offended, especially if it's done in the masjid. But that's exactly what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When one of the youth came to him in the masjid with the masjid full of companions, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, pretty much in nowadays terms, is I'm young, I'm not married, I have needs, make it halal for me to, you know, have a girl on the side. That's exactly how he said it to him. And wow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't get upset. He actually told him, come close. Because the young man sat down a little further from him. So he told him, come closer. So he kind of scooted up a little bit. He said, no. Come even closer. So here we see that the Prophet didn't repel him. He told him, no, draw near to me. I'm not mad. Come closer. And once they are touching knees, the Prophet talked to him in a language that he understands, right? And conveyed the message that this is not the thing you want to do. Without a strong lecture, without telling him that this is not the right thing, how dare you? How this? What kind of Muslim? You know, the Quran said this. Allah have made it haram. How can you ask me this? None of that. He just told him, you know, how would you like that to be done to your mother, to your sister? He used logic. He used his jealousy that he knew he had. And the young man learned the lesson and moved on from that. He said, I'd never had those urges ever after. So we have to understand the issues that the youth have nowadays. And we have to have the patience to really know how to deal with it.
I agree with you 100%. I wish, inshallah, all the listeners who've been listening to this episode can take some gems from it. Because alhamdulillah, I have. I know I am one of those people who sometimes have been frustrated with children. Even though I have two myself, and this is, alhamdulillah, a good nasiha, a good reminder for myself, because I'm just like everybody else. I make mistakes like everybody else. And as much as I make these podcasts for my listeners, interesting enough, every single episode, I learn something. And again, I've learned something at this episode as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair.
Ayyakum barakallahu fi.
With that said, I'd like to thank all my listeners for listening to this podcast. And I'd like to thank my guest, Sheikh Muhammad Muhammad, for coming on and sharing his knowledge with us. And for everyone who's interested, make sure you go to our podcast, which is at babaalishow.com, and subscribe to it in iTunes and Podcast Addict app. If you're on your Samsung phone, if you're on your iPhone, go to your podcast app and please leave me a review. You guys have been listening to so many episodes so far. I think we're about 16 episodes. So please leave me a review. Let me know what you guys think. It will mean a lot to me. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for joining us today. And this is Bab Ali reminding you, just in case you forgot, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.